morning. Welcome back to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host, Teresa Watkins. I'm a landscape designer, garden author, horticulturist. I love helping people with their gardens and answering your questions. And if you would like your gardening question answered, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Lizzie, what are your plans for 4th of July?
Probably just hanging out with the turkeys.
There you go. Yeah, they're not in fear right now. They're not stressing out on this holiday, right?
Technically, they shouldn't at ever because they pass that 2-year period of age.
And now they're just pets.
Now they're just pets.
Oh, that's great. Oh, I'm sure Gerald's going to be so happy. And so let's go for the dirty word of the day.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day is solarization and versus solarization versus occultation. Occultation. Solarization is an organic gardening technique that uses clear plastic to trap sunlight and heat the soil, helping you kill weed seeds, pests, and plant diseases. How does it work? When you cover moist soil with clear plastic, it creates a greenhouse effect that traps the sunlight and heat. Soil temperatures can reach 110 to 140 degrees in the top 6 to 18 inches, which can kill many soil-borne problems, including weed seeds and seedlings, disease-causing nematodes, fungi and bacteria, insects, and other soil pests. Most soils holds and conducts heat better, making solarization more effective. For best results, solarize garden beds and turf areas from late spring through early summer, especially in June and July, when the sun and heat are strongest. So how do you solarize a lawn or garden bed? The area to be solarized must have 6 to 8 hours of sunlight a day. It does not work in shady areas. Use clear plastic sheeting 2 to 6 mil thick, large enough to cover the area, and then add 6 to 12 inches more to keep it held down. Secure the edges with a garden hose, stakes, staples, rocks, sandbags, or bricks, and level the soil before covering. Leave the plastic in place for 6 to 8 weeks, depending on weather and soil moisture, and then remove rocks, debris, and plant material before covering the area. If you want to add compost, this is a good time beforehand to improve fertility, moisture retention, and overall soil quality. Adding compost, aged manure, or cover crop residue before solarization can strengthen the process and leave the soil healthier afterwards. Organic matter helps retain moisture, which supports the greenhouse effect under the plastic. Although solarization may reduce some beneficial organisms, compost can help rebuild a healthy soil ecosystem. It also adds slow-release nutrients that support plant growth after solarization. Now, occultation is a different organic, no-till weed control method. It uses opaque materials such as black tarps, landscape fabric, cardboard, or silage tarps to block sunlight, smother weeds, and prepare soil for planting. Because occultation blocks light rather than tramping intense heat, it usually warms the soil less and is generally less effective against pests and pathogens than solarization. It also blocks airflow. So I would not put cardboard down anywhere and start to put soil and mulch over it, thinking that's going to kill the weeds. It's not really going to be that effective. So that's the dirty word of the day, solarization and occultation. Have you ever heard of occultation?
Absolutely not, but I learn something new every time I'm on the show.
I'm so happy. That's great.
Yes, thank you.
All right. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Now, we had a phone call from Jim.
Yes, we had Jim from Ocoee, and he was asking about when you were talking about the gardening and the presidents. What about the Washington Carver?
George Washington Carver.
Yeah, the peanuts.
Yeah, he was such a great man, but I was just going back 250 years. So I was doing the 18th century, the beginning of America and the founding fathers and also the founding agricultural people, gardeners that were at that time. So George Washington Carver is great, but he's more 19th century, 20th century.
Okay.
Okay. So Jim, thank you for listening, and I do appreciate it.
I want peanut butter now.
I had peanut butter crackers yesterday.
Well, you didn't share any with me, so thanks for bringing it up.
I do four, and that makes a complete sandwich. You know, one, two, three, four, and you put them in a square. I love that. It has to be salty saltines,
ooh,
and then also crunchy, crunchy peanut butter.
Oh, see, I like crunchy peanut butter. I'm like a 50-50, so I'm a Jif creamy,
yes,
peanut butter lover, but then I do like the Jif crunchy too.
Yes, Tony is a creamy guy.
Mm.
Tony's creamy, I'm crunchy.
You guys make such a perfect couple. I love you guys.
Tina from Orlando, she texted, she goes, my avocado froze back. It is growing back. And how many years before I get avocados again? Well, it depends on how badly it was damaged and how big it was, Tina, when it got frozen. So I would say probably 2 years, okay? Only because if it's only 6 to 8 inches tall or even 4 to 5 feet tall, it's going to go through that process of putting roots down, you know, becoming healthier again. So I would continue to fertilize it. You might get one or two or three next year. And then the second year, it should recover completely and rebound and give you lots of avocados. Great question. Thank you. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680. We're going to be right back with my horticultural trivia for Independence Day so that you can entertain everyone next week at the 4th of July festivities. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. If you'd like to know what to do in July, it is up on our website, betterlawns.com, and it has all of the lists and what to plant, and I'll be going through that in just a minute. Let's go to Bill in Georgetown. Good morning, Bill. How can I help you?
Yeah, I'm growing, I don't call in much anymore because I'm not doing that much gardening, but I've got a valid question today about watermelon.
Yay!
So I grew them in Mount Dora, and it was kind of a unique thing because I grew the small ones, and I actually had a couple of them hanging on a fence.
Cool.
And what I want to know now is how many runners should I let go on this? It's got two main runners, and it's starting to put out some more runners, and I don't want that to detract from the overall nutrition from the vine. So how many should I leave?
Okay, so how long are the vines now?
Vines are only about 4 or 5 feet long, but there are starting to get some side vines starting to come out on it.
Yeah. Right now, I think the more photosynthesis you can go through, the better it's going to grow. So I don't see you trying to remove any of them right now because that's just going to put out more stress. I would wait until you start to have fruit. Do you have fruit yet?
Oh, no. The male blooms have just started blooming now. I see the little baby watermelon coming about 3 feet down on the vine, but no, we're not nearly there yet.
Okay, I would wait until they start growing, and then you can kind of see where to, you know, just snap a few of the vines off. But I wouldn't worry about it too much. Watermelons like to grow.
Yeah, well, it's a nice time of year to grow one. And it was from one of those seedless ones where they always have one or two seeds in them. And as a lark, I just went ahead and planted it.
Oh, well, good for you. That's wonderful. Well, then give us an update and let us know how many you get.
All right, I'll do that. And it was really nice to have Tom on last week to speak to him.
Wasn't it? I just love Tom. I am so glad that he was able to be on. So he's going to be on when I'm out. Then Tom will be here. So that's, I'm looking forward to that.
All right. Nice talking with you. Thank you.
You're welcome, Bill. Thank you. So my Independence Day, Lizzie, are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Have you been boning up here? Okay.
Yes.
So number one, which U.S. president was the first to host a 4th of July celebration at the White House?
Oh, yeah. See, you set me up for failure on this one. I would say... this is bad. Lincoln.
Dun, 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 dun. No, Thomas Jefferson.
Uh-oh.
In 1801. Okay, and so the Camellia sinensis provides traditional tea leaves. After the Boston Tea Party, What plant did Americans grow and harvest as a tea substitute? I'm going to give you a clue. Mm-hmm. It was called Liberty Tea.
Ooh, hibiscus?
No, that's a good choice, but we're talking Massachusetts. You know,
oh, so. That's true. Yeah. Okay.
All okay. Right. Okay, so the answer is Yaupon holly.
Snap.
Okay, so what? You can use the tea leaves, or you can use the leaves from Yaupon holly to make tea. Okay, so number three, why are red, white, and blue considered our national colors? Because we do containers, and we do red flowers and white flowers and blue flowers. Why is red, white, and blue considered our national colors?
Ooh, is it red for the blood that's shed?
No.
No. Well, you know what? I'll let you go ahead and finish it.
There you go. Okay. Hey, this is fun. So the colors were adopted in 1777 and have been explained as representing white is purity and innocence. Red is hardiness and valor. You're almost right there with the blood. And blue is vigilance, perseverance, and justice.
That makes sense.
Okay, isn't that great? What plant symbolizes freedom in American gardens?
A rose?
No. Indigenous tribes honored freedom with the tall, strong flower, sunflower.
I love sunflowers. Why do I not know this?
So it's it's wonderful. It symbolizes freedom. Okay, here's one. I think you'll get this one. What plant is featured on the seal of the United States?
I'm just going to go ahead and turn in my citizenship card because I've got none of these right. Is it a corn?
No, but that's good. Keep that thought. A bald eagle holds an olive branch and arrows, symbolizing the power of peace and war.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. And so you mentioned this. So everyone knows the rose was voted in 1986 as a national symbol of the United States. What other plants did it beat out?
Ooh, let's see. What other plants did it beat out? Huh.
Okay, I'm just gonna talk. Okay. We got a lot of dead air here. The American marigold.
Okay,
so the American marigold was proposed as a national floral emblem in the mid-20th century by Senator Everett Dirksen in 1967. Dirksen praised the marigold for being native to North America, thriving in all 50 states, and symbolizing resilience and self-reliance. The other two plants were dogwood and corn tassels.
Okay.
I thought that was really cool.
That is very interesting.
Cool test. What tree is recognized as the national tree of the United States?
Oak.
Yay! Ding, ding,
Shut
ding.
Up.
We have a winner. Oak. Yes, the oak. All the species. Quercus virginiana is the live oak. Okay, so this one's going to be hard. Okay. Just letting you know.
Versus all the others. Okay.
What is the origin of the word yard?
I'm sorry, say that what?
What is the origin of the word yard? Where did we get the word yard?
Like the country?
The word.
Oh, the word.
Yard.
I don't know.
It could be the country, but the word yard and garden share a common Germanic root, and it means both enclosure or fence space. Old English is geard, G-E-A-R-D, which means garden, court, residence. Then the Germanic gardan, G-A-R-D-A-N, and ger, meaning to grasp and enclose. And so the Middle English said relatively small patch of ground around a dwelling. So yard comes from garden.
Oh, I like gardan.
Gardan.
Like it's kind of like people call tarjay. I now own a gardan.
Exactly. See, isn't that cool?
I love this.
But the word yard, right? I mean, you wouldn't think it meant garden, right?
Nope, not never.
Okay. In 1741, Henry Middleton created what is considered the oldest landscape gardens and first public gardens in America. What state are they located in?
Ooh, let's go with Virginia.
That's a great choice, but it's not correct. Okay, South Carolina, Middleton Plantation, Middleton Place is one of the gardens. So most of these gardens, you were very close. You were right there in Virginia. And the last one, which I think is really, really cool. What could be the earliest American legislation to control plant disease?
Ooh, I'm going to have to say absolutely. I have no clue.
There you go. Okay, so in 1741, to protect wheat crops, English grain wheat crops from rust, the province of Massachusetts enacted an anti-barberry legislation. So barberry is a purplish bush that has thorns on it.
Okay.
Okay, barberry. To prevent damage to English grain arising from barberry bushes in the vicinity of grain fields. So back in 1741, they were enacting plant disease control. So barberries are native, but they didn't want the native next to the grain field because it gave them rust.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that interesting?
That is very interesting.
So you can take those, you can listen back on the podcast and write them down if you're interested, and you can thrill your family and friends
yes.
next Saturday.
And also, if the listeners really did learn anything from all those really cool questions, is please don't ever use me as a phone a friend. Unless it's useless knowledge, because I got plenty of that.
So that's great. That's so wonderful. So what can we be planting as far as bulbs right now? Achimenes. I am really interested in growing achimenes this month, so that's great. African irises, bulbine, and caladiums are coming up very nicely. They're starting to look great. Cannas and crinums. Crinums are blooming right now. They look beautiful, the milk and wine. Crocosmias and daylilies. Eucharist lilies and gladiolus. I was at a home this week that had gladiolus, and they were blooming lovely. And the secret to doing gladiolus is you want to plant them in full sun. Give them moisture once or twice a week, or just rainfall if we're getting the rain. And then you stagger them. Plant 10 one week, plant 10 another week, and 10 the following week. And then you have blooms all through the summer. Gloriosa lily and peacock ginger, society garlic, and spiderworts. I have spiderworts growing naturally in my yard. Rain lilies and walking irises. My rain lilies all busted up in bloom over the last couple of weeks. And then I know the seeds. I was going around trying to collect all the seeds, so they're lovely. So July is a good time to fill in bare or now weedy spots left by drought or pest. Do not fertilize. You're not allowed to fertilize now until October. If you need to green up your lawn, you can use an iron-only product, okay? Also, you want to mow, and I've seen this a lot, especially with the rain, that people are mowing in the same direction all the time and creating ruts in their yard. So you want to change it and go in different directions during a mowing. It's not just, oh, I'll mow this week, one week, and then this way, another week, you know, east or west. You want to do it in a different way during the same mowing. Never mow grass when it's wet from dew or rainfall, and avoid mowing when the lawn is hot and dry to prevent damage from the mower wheels. Learn how to identify weeds. You know, make sure that you get those under control. Don't let them go to flower because that means you're going to get seeds. And then sod webworm moths are very active right now. When you're walking through your landscape, look down in the grass. And if you see a little white moth flying up, you need to pay attention. Okay, if you see one or two and your grass looks fine, no big whoop. Okay, but if you're walking through and you see a little cloud coming up of 10, 15, 20 sod webworm moths, then you need to get control and you can put a grubicide down for it also too. All right, and so then you want to check for mealybugs, billbugs, and nematodes in your yard. Walk it. If there's an area dead, find out why. Okay, you do not want to spray chemical until you know what the problem is. Is it a disease problem? You know, take all root rot from overwatering, or is it an insect issue, chinch bugs, or sod webworms? You want to find out the problem first because you want to make sure that the insect is still there. Two, if it's a disease problem, your treatment of it is not going to help it. You just want to prevent it. So if you're getting fungus in your lawn, make sure that you're spraying before you get the fungus, not afterwards. It won't help it. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. We had email this week from Nilsa, and she had a mulberry that had all kinds of speckles and lines going through it, but it looked very healthy. It was some of the leaves did have some mosaic on it, but the whole, as a general, it was sprouting out very healthy. And so mulberry gets a virus. There's several viruses. There's like five or six different viruses, and there's nothing you can do for it if it gets it. There are no species or varieties of mulberry that can be virus-free. So it's just one of the downsides of having virus. But if you keep it healthy and fertilize it, make sure it's got the proper nutrients and it's got water, it doesn't get stressed. So, adequate water, plenty of sunlight, good air circulation, fertilizer, nutrients, then it should be just fine. But once a mulberry gets a virus, there's nothing you can do for it. You can't eradicate it from the plant. So she said, well, should I take it out? And I'm going, no, I would just enjoy it. It's still going to get fruit. The fruit's going to be just fine to eat. And so it's just one of the downsides of fruit trees. They get it. And they have not come up with a hybrid that can be virus resistant. Okay. So, that was a great, great learning lesson. I should have gotten pictures. Oh, my goodness, there. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. And let's see. Jerry had a question. He called back, and he wanted to know what variety of Yaupon holly would be that would make Liberty tea.
Yes.
And so the variety is just the native Yaupon holly, Ilex vomitoria. Now, vomitoria isn't a nice, pleasing word because it will, the species can make you sick.
Oh.
Because it's medicinal. And so, but when made correctly properly grown, then it's not a trouble. So, most plants can be toxic. And no matter, what they are, what vegetables can be toxic. Do you know if you eat a green potato, you can get sick? Have you ever seen green potatoes?
Yes, I have.
And don't eat them.
Okay.
Because they will make you sick.
Wow. Yeah, and that's the thing is that even though, we may say this and that, and you may trust other people that you hear or stuff you see on the internet, please take the time to do not only just one research, but check 2 to 3 different websites and doctor websites.
And I appreciate that. And it's so important because with AI, I was doing research this week, and AI was bringing up stuff that was totally wrong.
Yes.
And what they do is the AI scours the internet and puts it all together and says, here you go. Here's the answer to your question. And it can be wrong. So when you're doing research on anything, you want to use only academic university research.
Yes.
So put an EDU. If you ask your question, how do you grow tomatoes? Put EDU as a separate word in that search, and it'll bring up the universities that will tell you how to do it correctly.
Yes, and the University of Florida is an excellent one to refer to
right.
for things.
For here in Florida. But I will tell you, I also use research from North Carolina, from Penn State, Cornell.
Yes.
So if you put in EDU, then you're more likely to get the correct information. You cannot trust the internet.
No more. Really could before, but at least there for a moment, it seemed to be a lot of information was correct, and then all of a sudden we took a nosedive.
We did. And so that's important. Or Lizzie, they can just email me.
Okay, Teresa, what's your email?
Teresa, TERESA .Watkins, WATKINS @live.com. Or you can go to my website, she-consulting.com, and that stands for Sustainable Horticultural Environments, which is a lot of words. So I just do she-consulting.com. Or you can email us on betterlawns.com. And betterlawns.com will send me an email, and I will respond. May take a day or so, but I will respond to you. If it's an emergency, tell me it's an emergency. in the email, and I will respond right away. Give me your name and your city, because that helps me give you a correct information so that, you know, what I would tell somebody in Pensacola or Tallahassee is different than I would tell somebody in Port St. Lucie or Fort Lauderdale or Key West. So the location's very, very important. So what can you be doing in your vegetable gardening right now? You can be planting lots of Caribbean and African and South American vegetables. Asian vegetables, too, can take the heat. You want to make sure you're controlling your weeds. Weeds can bring in disease. It can bring in, insects that are not good. And so you want to make sure that you control your weeds. And then also, too, very, very important, I'm going to say this over the next 2 to 3 weeks, buy your eggplant, tomato, and pepper seeds now so that you have them and you can plant them now in little pots for transplanting in your garden in August. If you wait till August to get your seeds, you might not get a wide selection or variety that you would get right now. They're going to be sold out. So right now is the time to do it. Order from the catalogs right now. Order from companies like Heritage Cottage with our dear friend Gary Bachman, Heritage Cottage, and the Urban Nano Farm. And so plenty of posts on our Facebook page on him, and you can just Google Gary Bachman Heritage Cottage. Hi, Gary. You want to add organic matter to your sandy soils and your old garden sites to have them ready for planting right now. You can use black cow manure, your own compost pile for good organic material. And you want to use composted manures 90 days before planting. So get that in the ground now. You also want to feed your summer vegetables on a monthly basis and using slow-release fertilizer. You can also use quick-release fertilizers, but I would dilute them with the heat. I would not use them full strength, okay? So you want to dilute them and on a weekly or biweekly basis, and just give them a little bit at a time. But your vegetables are going to need fertilizing for a good harvest, too. Also, too, speaking of applying, you do not want to use herbicides right now. You don't use herbicides in temperatures over 85 degrees now. And the herbicide is not going to be as effective. The weeds are going to be healthier than the grass. And whatever you're putting it on the grass, you're risking damaging it. Okay, let's go to the phone here. We're going to be right back with more of In Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. Bill and Diane, hang on. We're going to be right back. Gardens. If you have a gardening question, I would love to help you. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Let's go to Bill in Yankeetown. Good morning, Bill. How can I help you?
Yeah, good morning. I've got crepe myrtles in my front yard, and they're partly shaded, and they have yet to flower. And I was wondering if you could help me out and tell me what's going on.
Okay, well, if it's partly shaded, that's a big issue. Okay, so crepe myrtles are very much full sun. Okay, but it also could be the variety of crepe myrtle that you have. So crepe myrtles are like azaleas. You know how we have some azaleas that bloom really early and some that bloom mid-season? And then we have azaleas that bloom at the end of spring. The same thing with crepe myrtles. Some bloom very early, some bloom mid-season, and some bloom very late. So crepe myrtles, one, how much sunlight does it get? It needs at least 6 to 8 hours of sunlight a day. If it's not getting that, it's not going to do well. And then also, how often are you fertilizing, Bill?
I put some fertilizer on about 2.5 months ago.
Uh-huh.
And that's another question I was going to ask you, is how often should I fertilize them?
I would say depending on what you use, if using a slow-release fertilizer is best, a granule, follow the label. It can either be like 1 month or 3 months or 6 months. So depending on what you get, it just has to be on a consistent basis, okay? So do you know what variety of crepe myrtle it is? What color is it when it blooms?
I wish I had that answer. I don't. I know there are four trunks coming up out of the ground.
Uh-huh.
And each one, but I don't know which ones they are.
Okay, so let me ask you one other thing. Do you prune them back in January or February? When was the last time you cut it back?
Yeah, I did. I did in the spring. We had such a hard winter up here. It killed a lot of the foliage.
Uh-huh.
So I did trim it back a little bit where the leaves had come off.
Uh-huh.
And new growth was coming out, so I clipped it right before the new growth.
Okay, crepe myrtles don't need to be pruned back per se, except if they're, you know, air circulation, just a little bit of a prettying up, but don't hack them straight across and commit crepe murder. That would also delay the blooming period. Okay, so
no, I only cut them back probably about 3 inches.
Okay, so that's fine. So I would just suggest maybe trimming back your trees. Is it oaks that are over it? What's shading it?
Yeah, the live oak.
Okay, you know, if you can open up your live oak and get a little bit more sunlight in there, that might be worth it. Okay?
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you calling. Thank you so much. Have a great 4th of July. Let's go to Diane in Kissimmee. Good morning, Diane. How can I help you?
I'm a senior, so funds are very limited because I'm living on Social Security. Uh-huh. And I love flowers, but with this weather and everything, they kept dying on me. So what I did is I went to a cheap store, I won't give the name, and where they have fake flowers for $2.15, and I got about $50 worth, put them in my hanging baskets and everything, and in my planters where I used to have real flowers.
Uh-huh.
I get more compliments from people driving by saying, you have such beautiful flowers, and they'll last for a whole year, and I don't have to water them.
But you have to dust them, Diane. They get dusty. And the colors fade.
They
colors fade.
And you can't see that from the road. But another thing that I do too is where I don't want to be growing anything, maybe alongside the house where I want to put mulch or something like that. Mm-hmm. If I'm fortunate, I'll see some roofers coming in, and I go over there and get a bunch of the shingles that they've taken off, and I put them in overlapping layers alongside my house wherever I want to put the mulch, and I put the mulch on top of that. And I don't have to spend a whole lot on mulch because I can spread it out. And that will keep your weeds down for years. And if you get a weed, you just pull it up because its roots are not in the ground. They're trapped maybe under a half an inch or an inch at the very most.
Okay, Diane, please don't do that. It poisons the soil. Okay, your shingles.
That's not that much, but nothing's going to be planted there.
Well, yeah, but that's not a good recommendation. I just want to just make that perfectly clear. I love you, Diane, for calling in. And I'm sure you don't get weeds because it's killing that area.
Hey, Diane, my thing is I didn't know that either, so I probably would have done the same thing. And this is my thing with listeners. Y'all think that y'all may have like a dumb experience or a dumb question? Mm-mm, no, because I don't even have a clue. So, Diane, I am glad that you were asking this.
So, Diane, if you will just put 3 to 4 inches of mulch down, that will keep the weed seeds from germinating because it's sunlight that causes that. And of course, when you put down those shingles, you're not going to get sunlight. So it works, but it's not good for the environment. It's not good for the soil. And so I know it's just so hard out there, but I want to see a picture of your flowers in your hanging baskets.
Exactly.
Send us a picture, Diane.
I can do that. They look gorgeous.
I bet they are.
Thank you so much, Diane, for calling and listening in. I appreciate it. Let's go to Bill in Orlando. Good morning, Bill. How can I help you?
Good morning, Teresa. Here's a question for you. I've always wondered what these things are that I see in the pots in the nurseries or the big box stores that they put on the top of the pots. It looks like rice almost. It's a tan color, very thin. I assume it's some sort of mulch, but what the heck is that stuff?
I don't know what you're talking. I'm trying to think of what it could be.
It's kind of like the stuff that's like whenever you buy a pot,
yeah,
a potted plant from the like box stores. There's something on top of it. I want to say it's like a fertilizer kind of situation on top. There's like white sprinkling. Sometimes it's brown. Right, Bill? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. Right. Oh. Exactly.
Okay.
It's really thin. It looks like, you know, it's not the same thickness of rice. It's very thin.
Okay.
It's so, about that size.
Okay, so in pots that you see at the nurseries, they have a soilless mix that they grow them in. Okay, and so the soilless mix, it may be a organic material that they're putting in that will grow in it, a medium. But I'm not really sure what it is. So I'm going to go look, but I'm thinking it's part of the soilless mix. So it could be some vermiculite or some part of the soil that that they're growing the plants in. That's why when you put it in the ground, it's good to put them in the ground right away because there's no soil there, and putting it in the ground keeps them so that they're nice and happy and they can hold on to moisture.
It's not in the mix itself. It's just on the top.
Yeah, I'm going to go look. I'm going to go look, and I'm going to let you know. We have a best of next week for 4th of July. Have a great 4th of July. And then when I come back, I'm going to tell you, okay? So you'll have to listen in, Bill. I'll find out. Yeah. All right?
Can I sneak one in?
Sure.
Where could I get some 4-inch gold mounds? I lost mine, and the reason I need 4 inches is because I got a drain field that I'm planting them over.
Yeah, so you're going to plant a lot. I would check. The professional nurseries, the commercial nurseries that I go to doesn't allow somebody or just homeowners to buy from them. So there's not really much I can help you there. But where are you located, Bill? Orlando. I would check at
what, Lucas's nursery or something like that?
They won't have 4-inch ones. That's the problem. They'll have 1-gallon ones. The 1 gallons may be the only recommendation that I can give you, but they'll be cheaper than the 3 gallons. Okay.
Yeah, I just don't want to dig deep.
No, that's fine. I appreciate that. But maybe just one little shovel, and then that'll be the 1 gallons. Don't need a lot of room.
Well, thank you, and I wish you both a happy 4th.
Thank you so much. We'll be celebrating.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much. Same to you.
All right, Bill.
That's what I'm telling you. My listeners, you guys are the best listeners in the whole wide world, because you guys, if y'all didn't listen to the last segment and me trying to answer them questions, y'all make me look smart, boy, let me tell you. But thank you. No, seriously. Like, these are I didn't know. Didn't know the thing about the shingles. Didn't know the thing about the stuff that's sprinkled on top. And I think Teresa didn't know either. So
I didn't know. I'm going to find out.
Exactly.
I'll find out. So a big thank you to everyone who called. We do appreciate it. Lizzie, we just love our listeners and callers. We have callers from around the world. You know, Australia, Asia, Germany. We got Austria this last week. There were people listening in. So wherever you are in the world, Texas, California, their climate is a little bit similar to ours. Mm-hmm. Texas doesn't get as much rain, but right now they've gotten a lot of rain. Mike, we're sending rain your way, okay, in Venice there. We want to make sure we really, really appreciate our sponsors, Black Cow, Summit Responsible Solutions, Peterson's Nursery, Quality Green Specialist. Check out Dana's, I know for 4th of July, he has some beautiful plants, herbs, and fruit trees and all kinds of great things to plant in your garden. So check them out. Let them know you appreciate their sponsorship. Lizzie, thank you so much. You're just a genius on the computer.
Oh, thank you.
Check out the New Orleans, the Ethereal Gardens of New Orleans on artandbloomgardentours.com. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, maker of mosquito bits and dunks and summer green armor, insect repellent, and deer band, I'm Teresa Watkins. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Go to betterlawns.com. That is betterlawns.com, and you can check out all the podcasts and anything that you may have missed there.